Jason, quick
you
question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
So I kind of just thought of this question on the spot. So it needs to be workshopped a little. I'm not going to lie.
You are the famous Matt.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Oh, snap! What's up with that? What's up with that?
I wonder if Jason Wilde is going to say what's up to that, to this question. Matt Hamilton, I'm Jim Rutledge.
Maybe.
Live from the Everlight Solar Studio. Primetime lore shining behind the glass. Of course, we're presented by Coors Light. Jason, how are we doing today?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
We are wonderful.
You already lost it. The first question you asked him was, how are you doing today? He's not going to say, what's up with that?
Oh, sorry.
What's up with that?
Jason, I've seen a lot of chatter, and I think most Packer fans have the right thoughts on Jordan Love. And I wanted to ask this poll question, which I'm not surprised really with the results. And it was actually a throwback to a question we asked that was a little too inflammatory, and I've learned from it from my younger days. We asked about Sam Decker in like his sophomore year with Wisconsin. We asked if he was overrated or underachieving. And I feel like that was probably a bit leading. So this time we're asking the question, our Signing Unlimited poll question. Were the expectations, did Jordan Love had outsourced expectations from fans?
Were they too high?
Were they too high, or is he underachieving this season? And that's kind of how we set it up. What's your answer to that? You don't have to answer in that binary way, but I wanted your thoughts on the general question.
Yeah, I don't think he made as big of a jump as he needed to, as much as he wanted to, or as much as we all expected him to. Like, you know, look, he is a, certainly not to the degree that Aaron Rodgers has become a lightning rod, but I feel like he's one of those players that there are some very, very, very passionate people that take it very personally if you critique him. You know, that you're a hater or you're a Rodgers apologist or whatever you may be if you are critical of him. And so Tausch teases me, you know, that I don't criticize him as harshly as I might because I don't want to deal with the backlash. That's not it. I don't really care about those folks. If they want to be that way, they're entitled to it. But I am a believer in him. I like him. I like him as a player. I like him as a teammate. Like, I like the fact that he takes a lot of responsibility, which not all quarterbacks have always done. I like that about him. I like dealing with him as a reporter. Like, I've got a very good, you know, relationship with him. I like him. But one of the things that I like about him is how he takes ownership. And I think if we, you know, this isn't a question that I necessarily want to ask him, you know, tomorrow going into a playoff game, but I think it's the kind of question you want to ask after the season. And that is, how do you view year two as a starter? Did you make as much of a jump as you expected yourself to make? Did you, you know, did you get significantly better as a player or just somewhat better as a player? Like, and I think Jordan is honest enough to say, I thought I was going to be better. And yeah, I had some injury issues, and those affected some of the games. But, you know, I'm better than the quarterback that I was this year, and I'm going to be motivated to be that guy in 2025. And so, you know, look, I understand that they can win on Sunday. They can. I don't think they're going to, but they can. They could go on a crazy three-game run like the 2010 team did, but I don't feel – I know Rob Domofsky did a great piece on ESPN.com and ESPNWisconsin.com about the 2010 team, but I know he had started working on that before they lost back-to-back games to the Vikings and the Bears. And they don't feel like the 2010 team to me. Like the 2010 team, you know, they went to New England and almost won without Rodgers, and then they kicked the crap out of the Giants, and then they beat, in a tough game, they beat the Bears at home, and they just felt like the team that you wanted no part of that year. And this team, they don't feel like that team. They're not that scary, the way they're playing. You know, LaFleur keeps using the word sloppy. So my point is that, you know, I think Jordan Love would be honest enough to say, look, I don't think I played bad, but I certainly didn't play as well as I wanted to. I didn't take the steps I wanted to. And I'm supremely motivated to do all that next season.
So, Jason,
do you agree with that? Wait a minute.
Oh, okay.
Hambone.
Okay.
Do you agree with that? Well, like, what do you think?
I mean, I don't know.
Your view is different.
I don't know what Jordan would say. I.
How do you view him, though? Is what I'm saying. I'm not asking you to say what he'd say. I'm right. asking you. Do you view him the way I do, or are you more disappointed? Because I'll be honest, and I said this to Tausch today. Like, I think that there was a lot of, I don't want to say pressure, but there were a lot of people who wanted to crown him. I mean, there were plenty of people, some in my business, who wanted to be able to brag that they, you know, they called it. He's great, and he's just he has not been, like, we were talking about him as a MVP candidate going into the season. I feel fairly confident he won't be getting any votes, right?
Yeah.
So he just didn't make that jump, and so I think there's somewhere between, oh, he's a bum, or he's disappointing, or he underachieved, and him being what he's capable of being is kind of where he landed, for me.
Yeah, honestly, my expectation changed when the Packers made him the highest-paid quarterback in the NFL. I thought he went on a bit of a heater at the end of last season. I thought this guy is pretty darn good. But again, we've only seen him start, you know, two games prior to last season, and then the 17 games, and then the playoffs last year. And even last year, 9 of them were really good, and the rest weren't that great. And I was like, I was hesitant to put an expectation on him. But when the Packers decided to make him the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, I thought, if the Packers can make that sort of leap of faith with this kid, there must be more that I'm not seeing. And I mean, I know that's kind of how the quarterback position is going right now. And, like, I mean, at least we're not the Jaguars with Trevor Lawrence, who is a true middle of the pack, maybe bottom of the pack quarterback.
At least there's excuses for him, though.
Right.
I mean, if you wanted to spin it.
Right. But that's kind of like where my head was at. Like, I wanted to give him a chance and almost another year to continue to learn to be a starter. Like, sure, you can be in a system for your first 3 or 4 years as a rookie and moving forward. But once you become a starter, like, it's different. You're playing game speed reps. It's not practice anymore. And I don't really care what anyone says about it. Like, 16 games plus 2 playoff games is not enough, or 17, excuse me, is not enough to, like, fully get a grasp on what a quarterback is capable of. So I wanted to give him more leeway, but when the Packers gave him that contract, I raised my expectations, because that's what that type of money to me infers, is you are going to be great, borderline elite, because we are giving you more money than Patrick Mahomes. And that was my feeling on it. So I think,
I don't know how it look, contracts do that, right? There's no avoiding it. And so when he gets paid that way, the expectations are there. But, you know, I don't know if it's the contract. I think there's a number of things that factor into where my expectations were. And also, I think that factor into whether or not he lived up to them, right? Like, I think as a second-year starter, you start to feel it a little bit, and you want to try different things. I wrote a piece earlier in the year about how he was, you know, kind of like Bob Ross. and I did some great graphics to go with it. But basically, you know, going from paint by numbers to, I'm going to be my own artist, and I'm going to try different things. You know, there was that throw into triple coverage down the field when they beat the Rams. You know, so that's part of it. It's Matt LaFleur going from an offense that had a first-year starting quarterback, but also a bunch of young guys that he had no clue what they were capable of, now trying to take the offense, you know, steps further and do more things, and him maybe having some inconsistency with that. There were certainly the injuries that factored into it. But, you know, at the same time, like, he has not been especially accurate. And there were certainly questions about his accuracy coming out of Utah State. And to what degree is his accuracy improved? I don't know. There's also the issue that Matt LaFleur's offense, at least in my opinion, one of the great things about it was how effectively, and we saw this a lot of last year, it schemed guys open. I don't know about you guys, but I haven't seen a lot of guys running around wide open lately. Have you?
No.
So
no.
There's a lot of pieces to this, and again, I'm not what I say I'm disappointed with him. I mean, I think a little bit, and I think that's okay to feel that way because of how he played last year, because of his contract, because you see the wow throws now more frequently. I think it's okay to have higher expectations for him. I do. And I think they're valid, and he didn't reach them this season, but guess what? He can go out there on Sunday against Philly, which doesn't give up big plays defensively, playing great defensively right now. He can change this narrative like that by having one of those exquisite games like he had against the Cowboys in the first playoff game last year, and suddenly now we're not talking about his mediocre regular season. We're talking about, boy, did he rise to the occasion in the postseason.
That's incredibly true, Jason Wilde. You touched on something that has been the biggest sticking point for me as far as I feel like holding Jordan Love back. I think last year he was just above league average in completion percentage. This year I believe he's below it. And that is far from being a great quarterback. And it's not like Jordan Love is incapable of making some great on-point throws, but he at times, and I watched a lot of rookie QB this year, looks almost like reverted back to rookies, holding the ball, not taking a check down, and then trying to make a hero throw. So that hurts his accuracy. It regressed this year. But also, it seems like even in the simple throws, even that game, I mean, there was one he threw to Tucker Kraft. Tucker Kraft had to make an amazing catch. It was a wide-open throw. So what does he attribute, or what does the coaching staff attribute to an offense that if you looked at, like, Darnold and Goff and Purdy, those quarterbacks are high completion percentage guys because his offense lends itself to it, and Jordan Love is below league average in completion percentage. What is the holdup, according to Love and the coaching staff, on that?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's another one of those questions that, you know, is kind of the post-mortem time question, right? But I would say this. I think one of the things, and look, part of that is the injuries.
Yeah.
Not only it changing his mechanics when he was trying to play after the injuries, but I would also argue vehemently, because I believe in the value of practice, and so does Matt LaFleur, that he was hardly practicing, right? I mean, he wasn't taking a lot of reps. So I think when you don't practice enough, you lose your fundamentals. You lose all those things, those techniques and those details. They're not very good. And then I would also add this, you know, and I don't know if this you can liken this to, say, a basketball shooter who experiences his first real success. But I think you start to, as a basketball player, and certainly my shooting skills, even though I can't defend a folding chair, I feel like I could shoot it pretty well. But you get like, and you guys could tell me this is crazy, but you get a little overconfident in your ability to shoot, and suddenly, you know, you're taking these off balance or fallaways, right? And you're not going straight up. You're not snapping your wrist the way you follow through. You're not keeping your elbow. And you're not worrying. You're not thinking about all the details that make you a good shooter. Suddenly now you're feeling so good about your shooting ability that maybe you're leaving those details behind. And I think that if you watch some of his throws this season, there are times where he's thrown off his back foot, or he's on the run, and if he has a chance to set his feet, he chooses not to. Like, I think there's instances of that where you think, you know, maybe this is a young guy who's going through the process of maturation, who's thinking, all right, I'm pretty good. I can make this throw. I don't have to set my feet. I don't have to flip my hips. I can just do it. And there are times when he does make remarkable throws that way, just like a hot shooter hits a fall-away three-pointer and he lands in the front row of the seats. That doesn't mean that you should be shooting that way all the time. And so I think all those things are pieces of it. But again, count me as a Jordan Love believer and someone who thought that we were crowning him too early. And now we're starting to see that this is a process for any quarterback, including him.
Jason, that's fantastic stuff there. I guess I don't want to ask for a prediction, but we did ask this other question I wanted to get your thoughts on. And we asked yesterday, what was the biggest regular season issue for the Packers heading into the playoffs? And we'll leave Jordan Love off of it. It was slow starts, defense late in games, or just a general coaching, which could fall under slow starts, but the penalties, some sloppiness from the team.
Also defense late in games, but
yeah, that kind of falls under it too. But I mean, on that, to me, the defense at the end of games, because I can think of the Detroit game this year, the Chicago game this year, twice, when the team needed to move the ball, the opposing team on the defense, they were able to.
Right.
And
right.
Also, slow starts. How old is that warm pee comment from Matt LaFleur? Because that seems to be right. A theme in this point. They have slow starts this year, the year before, all of LaFleur's tenure. So, like, what is the biggest thing that you think is kind of hurt them in the big games this year, whether out of those or something else?
Yeah, look, I think it's all those things, first of all.
Yeah.
But I think there's another piece of that, and I am going to put some of it on Matt LaFleur because, like, you know, and it wasn't you guys that I was talking about this with. I can't remember who it was, but, like, you know, God bless the Bears. I saw some interesting comments from the press conference today.
My hopium is already – I microdosed hope when the Bears won. My hopium's already worn off. They've already ruined all highs from that victory.
Saw some interesting reviews of Kevin Warren. I would say this. You know, look, whatever Caleb Williams is going to become, he's not that now. And so why the hell are you taking the ball to start the game? Like, just because you're trying to set a tone or that's your mentality. Like, I didn't understand that from LaFleur at all on Sunday. Like, kick the ball, get them three and out, and then you get the ball, and you get the ball to start the second half. Like, that was just to me, was a no-brainer. And when they took the ball, I was like, what are you doing? And so I think there was, I don't want to call it hubris, but I do think that there was maybe an overconfidence that maybe permeated everybody, right? Like, the coach, the offense. You know, we kept talking about how star-spangled awesome all these wide receivers are. Like, Jaden Reed ended up leading the team with 55 receptions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were not all that, like, on balance, their offense looks really good, right? They're, what, eighth in scoring or seventh in scoring, eighth in total offense. But you owe the lion's share of that to Josh Jacobs. And mm-hmm. So I'm really eager to see if the Eagles come in and say, We are not letting Josh Jacobs beat us. If the Packers passing game can do something about that, to me, that's what this game will come down to.
Jason, really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, guys, take care. Be good.
All right, that is Jason Wilde. He's Matt Hamilton, Primetime Oilers Show behind the glass. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and Wisconsin On Demand.